Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science, director of applied politics program at the University of Akron, and of course, with the Bliss Institute. And I reached out to David, you know, when you look at President Trump, many executive orders, right? Immigration, tariffs, he's put the pause on some of the tariffs, at least for now. Some people saying, yes, it worked. Look what Canada's doing now. Looks what Mexico is doing now. From a political aspect and an overall viewpoint, wanted to get Dr. Cohen's point of view on this. David, are the tariffs and the idea working for the Trump administration?
Tariffs. You know, that was an idea that went out with Smoot-Hawley decades ago. And tariffs are not really a tool that countries use anymore because they're incredibly inefficient. They jack up prices. They put inflationary pressure on prices. And there's a reason that he didn't go ahead and institute the 25% tariffs on Canada and on Mexico, because I don't know if many people noticed, on Friday the stock market crashed. I shouldn't say crashed, it cratered after he made his announcement at 1 p.m. And yesterday it was getting killed until the announcement that the tariff on Mexico had been delayed by a month, you know, the Canada announcement followed a few hours later. If you want to kill the economy, you install tariffs, because tariffs are just another fancy word for taxes. I think a lot of people don't understand. I mean, the other country isn't paying for the tax, for the tariff. It's actually American companies that are importing goods that are actually paying for that tax, and then distributing those costs to the American consumer, which means that the raise in prices is passed on to the consumer. Tariffs are not what people think that they are, and they don't work. That's why they're not really used a whole lot, except for specific targeted tariffs that are meant to protect a country's industry, for example.
David, let me ask you this. Canada announces that they're going to put some more patrol in regards to fentanyl. Mexico announces they are going to bring some more military personnel to the border. Was that the end game for Donald Trump?
No. I mean, the end game was the end game was show and bluster and, honestly, distraction. You know, with so many other things that are happening, if Americans are consumed and concerned about, you know, prices going up with a potential trade war, you know, that's a distraction from the, you know, dozens of other executive orders that are being, you know, signed, you know, every day, I'm just not sure threatening to put 25% tariffs on two of our obviously closest neighbors, but closest allies, really does anything. You know, there is no fentanyl problem in terms of Canada. You know, there just isn't. And you know, it's an extremely friendly country. You know, a historic ally of the United States. And if you see the reaction in Canada, you know, the United States, they're not viewing very positively in that country over the last several days. You know, we are becoming the villain, and I'm just not sure, you know. In fact, the Wall Street Journal, in their editorial page, conservative newspaper, you know, called it the dumbest trade war in history, which it is. There's no other way to term it.
Dr. David Cohen is with us, professor of political science, University of Akron. And David, for many, many years, go back in time, the United States has, one, been the global police and has always, I don't want to say been the friend to everyone, but has tried to reach out as the, quote, peacekeeper. With your ties and watching all everything that is going on globally, politically, what's the perception right now of the United States? Are people saying we better be more friendly with them, or are they shying away? Is this opportunity for China? Is it all of the above? What's the perception of us right now?
The perception is not good. I mean, we are certainly not the global peace peacemaker. You know, we're rapidly turning into a global pariah. You have a president of the United States that is threatening Denmark to take Greenland because the United States wants their natural resources. We have been threatening the country of Panama to, quote-unquote, take back the Panama Canal, any dispute with them was settled in a treaty that was signed in the late 1970s. Donald Trump, the president, keeps talking about making Canada a sovereign nation, one of our great allies, taking them over and making them the 51st state of the United States. We're also talking about putting stiff tariffs on the European Union, which covers, you know, much of the European continent, and also he's talked about maybe putting a tariff on the UK. And there's no doubt there are talks of the United States potentially withdrawing from NATO. We've already withdrawn from the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the Paris Climate Accord. So at this point, you know, we certainly are not viewed in a beneficial way. We are viewed as, you know, potentially the biggest threat in the modern era to world peace.
David, there's also a major concern coming out of D.C. about Elon Musk and his group behind the scenes pertaining to dollars and what they're able to do behind the scenes financially. And to many, this is a really scary situation on what he's been given access to.
Oh, yeah, and Elon Musk is the real power right now, you know, behind the Trump administration. A lot of the stuff that they're doing, like you said, covertly. And, you know, they've been able to embed themselves in the U.S. Treasury Department and its payment system and get access to all Americans' Social Security numbers and other, you know, private information of American citizens. And, you know, he and his horde of, very young and inexperienced but very, very smart tech guys, IT people have been able to burrow their way into the Treasury Department. And, you know, the worry is that the Trump administration is going to start making policy by essentially shutting off payments to certain government agencies, which you cannot do. It is illegal. It is unconstitutional. If they start making policy that way, you know, well, we've already got a constitutional crisis. It's going to be an even bigger constitutional crisis. You know, people are worried that the entire payment system of the federal government could collapse, which would essentially put everything that the federal government does and touches at risk, which would impact every single American in this country.
David, I've been talking to you for, close to 20 years here on this show, pertaining to politics and Washington, D.C., and everything going on even across this state of Ohio. I don't know if I've ever heard the concern level in your voice right now than I ever have.
Well, this isn't, because this really isn't politics. This is about power. You know, people should be very concerned by what is happening with our government right now. And it's unprecedented. The reason there's a concern level is because I have no idea how it's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked for years on this show about how stable our American political system is and how, you know, regardless of who's in power, you know, people share the same values, essentially, and, you know, they're all dedicated, you know, to our way of life and our political system and the stability of it. We have some folks in power right now who are on record. People such as, you know, Elon Musk and Peter Thiel and some of the people behind the scenes that are on record talking about how the United States system needs to be completely dismantled. I am very concerned, you know, that our federal government may not survive in the long term,
David,
if things continue.
David, my final question is, out of D.C., obviously, the Democrats aren't liking what they are seeing. But what about the Republican Party? Are they all behind, from what you've read and heard some of the words, Are they all behind what the new president is putting into action with his orders?
Look, no doubt that there are some in the Republican Party that are true believers, and they are lockstep behind the president and Elon Musk. However, I think a number of them are paralyzed with fear, and they don't want to act because they've seen if you get into Donald Trump's crosshairs, you see what happens. You lose either your position of power yourself. You're primaried in the next congressional session, campaign cycle, and you're out of a job. Donald Trump's most fervent supporters start to threaten you online and in your personal life. So I think a number of them are just paralyzed with fear, particularly in the U.S. Senate. And until they can shake themselves out of that paralysis, the Trump administration is just going to have carte blanche.
David, great stuff this morning. Thanks for making time. I always know those mornings with your family, you're packed. So I appreciate the minute you're able to give us with some great political insight. Thanks, my friend.